You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Minimum wage is set to increase on Friday the 1st of April, moving from $20 an hour to $21.20 an hour. However, the living wage of New Zealand for 2021 and 2022 is set at $22.75, meaning the new minimum will still not provide sufficient monetary needs to afford the basic costs of living. COVID-19 has worsened the issue, with stockpiling becoming a necessity for those who need to isolate, a concept that is unaffordable for many. Ricardo Mendez-March, Green Party MP, spoke with me today about the potential of an introduction of an overarching living wage. I began by asking, what does a livable income look like?
When we talk about livable incomes, we mean people having enough to pay for things like rent, power, and for them to be able to also participate in their community. So it's not just about surviving, but thriving. And we've got some useful measures, such as, you know, livable wages, which is living wage. And right now, unfortunately, our benefit system isn't fit for purpose to ensure that people are able to survive, let alone thrive.
And so how would this affect families, both just in the household and like beyond that?
Yes, well, right now what we are facing is families having to wait potentially hours at work and income to get a hardship grant so that they're able to stock up on groceries, especially if there's a household contact, for example, or their household is at risk. The fact that incomes are so low means that people are simply not ready to stay safe in the context of a global pandemic. I mean, and this sort of crisis and conditions were already existing before COVID even hit our shores. Now COVID is making it harder for the families that were already struggling to survive to make ends meet.
So as you mentioned, so it was already pre-existing. Do you think as the cost of living increases very quickly, the people who used to be able to live quite comfortably, they're now being neglected?
Well, these are people who were already struggling to make ends meet prior to COVID-19, and the cost of living rises came about. So we're talking about people who have been neglected already for quite some time, and now they're, you know, basically effectively drowning by nature of higher cost of living and COVID-19 hitting them and when they don't have a safety net. So, you know, people who've got thousands of dollars of debt to government, people who may already have been struggling with rent arrears. If you're asked to basically stockpile groceries because you've got a household contact, that is simply not possible for those kind of populations.
So would the livable income be a temporary measure whilst Omicron sort of peaking and this period goes on, or would this continue into the future?
So, for example, in 2020, we saw some temporary measures, such as the doubling of the winter energy payment, and that did provide relief for some families. But what we think we need is permanent increase to people's benefits and incomes. So talking about core benefits, winter energy payment, working families package, because the reality is that we want to create a resilient society that is fully equipped to deal with any current and future crises. So I think the solutions from government should be permanent, not temporary.
So minimum wage is increasing soon as well. Why is this increase insufficient in comparison to the living wage?
Well, I mean, the living wage at the moment is very much still $22.75, and I mean, that's the bare minimum, right? It's not supposed to be like an aspirational goal. It's supposed to be the floor. And so for many families, even the living wage, they'll still be needing other top-ups from government to make ends meet, like the accommodation supplement. And so if we want people to be in a position where they're not facing debt to government because they couldn't make the rent due to extra costs because of getting supplies like N95 masks, for example, to stay safe, we need to continue increasing benefits and wages and those supplementary top-ups. So while we are happy that obviously the minimum wage is going up and so is core benefits, a lot more needs to be done.
So apart from just monetary increases, are there any additional measures that would need to be taken in conjunction with the introduction of a living wage?
For wages to keep up with the cost of living, we also need interventions elsewhere. One of the things that we've been advocating on is for rent freeze and rent controls to come in place so that wages can catch up to rents. So interventions need to happen not just in the income space, but in those spaces where landlords, for example, have so much power in determining rents that when we see increases in incomes, those can easily be eaten up by landlords putting rents up.
With COVID restrictions easing as well, why is this concept still so important to continue on?
The truth is that while the COVID restrictions may be going away, COVID isn't. And for many groups, particularly those that have existing underlying health conditions, they'll still need to be kept safe from COVID. Some people will still be living as if they were on level 3 or 4 restrictions, and people will still require things like N95 masks and additional, and will have additional expenses as a result of the pandemic still in our shores. So we still need to provide support for people, even if government is basically saying that people can now go to cafes and or events. Many of the things that actually those in lowest incomes don't even have the means to participate in.
And for those who already earn a livable wage, as you're saying, that's the bare minimum to actually live, do you believe their pay should also rise, just sort of like a general increase in money?
Oh, I mean, we do believe in sort of those cash in hand supports that that we actually saw in 2020. You know, some of those people on the living wage will still be getting accommodation supplement, will be getting work and family tax credits based on their family makeup. And so this is why we do want to see like the winter energy payment, for example, permanently doubled so that the families have enough to live on. Those people also need additional support. I think if we look at the increasing support from the bottom up, I think that's the best way to look at it, as opposed to doing what the government did last time, which was kind of really targeted, but often missing those just struggling the most to get by.
And obviously businesses have struggled quite a bit with COVID. Do you have anything to sort of say to their concerns that if a livable wage came into play, they'd have to pay a lot more to their staff?
I have seen quite a lot of business actually being a support of livable wages, and the living wage movement is fast growing. I think in terms of the conversation on livable incomes, we know that when people have decent wages and when benefits are set at livable levels, people have more of an opportunity to spend that money on local businesses. So I think everybody wins when we set incomes at a livable level, because it also means people have the means to spend money on their local economy. And that actually benefits those small businesses that have been struggling for some time.
That was Green Party's MP, Ricardo Menendez-Mart, discussing the need for a livable wage.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.